A look at Parshat Tzav seems to be not only a continuation of Parshat Vayikra, but in many ways a repeat of Parshat Vayikra. Parshat Tzav continues, of course, with the job that Bnei Yisrael are receiving, having to bring korbanot, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beit HaMikdash, bringing the Shekhinah to this world, bringing Kedusha to this world. However, a closer look at the Parsha notices that there are a number of repetitions. So, for example, in Parshat Vayikra in Perek Aleph, the Torah talked about the Korban Ola. Once again in Parshat Tzav, in the very beginning of Perek Vav, the Torah talks about a Korban Ola. In Parshat Vayikra, in Perek Gimel, there is a discussion of the halachot of a korban shlamim. Once again in Perek Zayin, in two places, in Perek Zayin and Parshat Tzav, korban shlamim. Korban chatat, once again, we learned about the korban chatat in Parshat Vayikra, Perek Dalid. Once again, we learned about the korban chatat in Perek Vav. And lastly, the korban asham in Perek Hay, in Parshat Vayikra, once again is repeated in Perek Zayin in Parshat Tzav. So why the repeat? Certainly, as the Mefarshim tell us, they're not identical halachot. Absolutely not. There is one parsha, so to speak, is mashlim the other, completes the other, they're complementary parshiot. But why wouldn't you have, for example, all of the halachot of Korban Ola in one place, either in Parshat Vayikra or in Parshat Tzav, or all the halachot of Korban Shlamim all of it in Parshat Vayikra, or all of it in Parshat Tzav, all of it in Perek Gimel, for example, or all of it in Perek Zayin? Why the distinction? And so to speak, why the separation between these two halachot? The beautiful idea that I heard, and I'd like to build upon, that I heard from Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, who is the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Haaretzion, the son of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Shlita. We know that when it comes to korbanot, there are really two components to a korban. One component, one aspect, one idea about korbanot is the fact that this korban, this animal, this goat, this sheep, this bird, this flower, this object becomes hekdesh. It, so to speak, belongs to Hashem. It belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. That's one component, so to speak, from the perspective of the korban itself. But there's another aspect of every single korban, and that is the impact, the message, so to speak, that it has on me, that I am devoting a major asset, a valuable possession of mine to God. Sometimes I need to devote that asset because of something wrong that I did, chas v'shalom, and sometimes it's simply a way, for example, in the case of a korban todah, sometimes it's an opportunity for me just to come closer to God. But either way, it's the aspect, the component that has to do with me. Again, one component is the fact that it becomes hekdesh. It belongs to God. It's not mine anymore. And if I use it, this animal that was mine 5 minutes ago is no longer mine. And 5 minutes ago, I was able to use it, I was able to sell it, I was able to shecht it, I was able to milk it, I was able to use it for work, and right now, it's not mine anymore. It's hekdesh, completely, so to speak, to Hashem. That's one component. And the second component is the impact, so to speak, or the message or the idea that it has on me. Here I am doing something to come closer to God or to repair my relationship with God. By the way, these two components happens not only with korbanot, it happens with the kohanim, for example. The kohanim themselves, the personalities of the kohanim, so to speak, they themselves have these two aspects. On the one hand, they are clay kodesh. Whether they like it or not, whether they want it or not, whether they renounce it or not, whether they accept it or not, they are kohanim, and they belong to God, and certain halachot follow them. Again, whether they like it or not, whether it means something to them, they belong to God. On the other hand, they're human beings. They're human beings that are representatives, my representative, my shaliach, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't go all the way into the Beit HaMikdash. I have to stop at the Ezra Yisrael, right in the beginning of the Azara. They are the ones who say to speak, take my job. I can do Shechita. But all the other avodot of the Mikdash, I cannot do Kabbalah, I cannot receive the blood, I cannot do Holacha, I cannot take the blood to the Mizbeach, I cannot do Zrika, I cannot pour the blood on the Mizbeach. That's all him. That's the Kohen. So again, the Kohanim themselves have these two components. Well, these two components are clear in the distinction between Parshat Tzav and Parshat Vayikra. Because on the one hand, we have Parshat Vayikra. Parshat Vayikra, well, I'll start actually in reverse. Parshat Tzav. In Parshat Tzav that we read this week, the focus is fully on the Korban. And that's the language that's over and over in this week's Parsha. Zot Torah Ta'ola, Torah Ta'chatat, Zot Torah Ta'asham, Zot Torah Zevach HaShlamim. These are the halachot regarding Korbanot. In Vayikra last week, if you remember, the focus was on me. Adam ki yakriv mikem korban lashem, nefesh ki takriv, or nefesh ki techeta. The focus is on me. The focus is the impact that it has on me. And it's important that these two aspects are separated, because when we bring a korban, we must recognize these two ideas. On the one hand, it's fully to God. On the other hand, I, of course, have a role in this, and it has an impact on me. This idea not only relates to korbanot, and not only relates to kohanim, it relates to our entire avodat Hashem. Every single mitzvah that we do, and briskers, and Rabbi Soloveitchik is often one to point this out, we very often recognize this distinction between the act that I do and the kiyum ha-mitzvah that is performed. A classic example that Rabbi Soloveitchik discusses in the Sefer that's written called Al HaTshuva, is written based on shiurim that he gave before Yom Kippur. An example that he gives is by tefillah. And tefillah, on the one hand, I say certain words, I stand a certain way, I daven at a certain time and in a certain place. That's all true. But I am still not yotze until that has an impact on me. Until there's something balev. Or kriyat shema is the same thing. I can say the words of kriyat shema all day long. And that's the action, for sure. That's the action of kriyat shema. But the mitzvah is not fulfilled. The kiyum ha-mitzvah does not happen until it happens balev. Until there's a kabbalat ol malchut shamayim balev. Here we are just a few days from Chag HaPesach, Chag HaMatzot. And we know, of course, there are many, many mitzvot that we're all engaged in now. And we'll be engaged in tonight. Emir Tzashem, all of us in Yerushalayim. Many mitzvot. Preparing a Korban Pesach, shechting the Korban Pesach, eating the Korban Pesach in the right way and in the right time, true with matzah, true with maror, even Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, I say the words, that's all one aspect of the mitzvot. But of course, the other aspect is the messages that all these mitzvot have on me, all the messages that I've got to share with myself, with my family, v'igadta l'avincha. That's the idea, one of the ideas behind Rabbi Gamliel Omer, kol shelo amar shlosha devarim elu, lo yatza yedei chovato, Pesach, of course, these three ideas, Pesach and matzah and maror, it's not just eating them, but it's describing them and those ideas and those mitzvot having an impact on me. In Yirtz Hashem, by all of us performing the Avodat Hashem through tefillah and through other mitzvot, we'll be all be zocha in the next few hours before the Pesach even comes, we'll be zocha to see the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. We'll all be eating Korban Pesach this year in Yerushalayim, not only eating the Korban Pesach, but having that Korban and all the mitzvot surrounding it impact on us as we get closer to God. Shabbat Shalom.